Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I know that we have a lot going on in life, each one here. Lord, we just ask that you help us just remove that this morning, that we may have our focus on you, and that we may remember that we're here to worship and honor you. It's not about us. It's all about you. Lord, we thank you for the offering. May it be something that is a blessing to you. And may it glorify your name. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand. Sing to the one who fills my soul. Gonna bring all that I am to the one who makes me whole. And there you are, enthroned on high. Here I am, I lay myself down low, and with these hands they stretch out to the sky, I will bring praise to the Lord God above all. Let's do that again. I want to sing. Gonna sing to the one who fills my soul. Gonna bring all that I am to the one who makes me whole. And there you are, enthroned on high. Here I stretch out to the sky, I will bring praise to the Lord God above all. Holy, 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 and holy, 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 Lord.
Lord God Almighty.
Of the service, this opportunity where we lift up the people in our lives who don't know Jesus, because we know there is many around us who don't know Christ, who are walking around with no knowledge of who he is. And one of the easiest things that we can do to share the gospel message is to pray for them. There's always other work that we can be doing as well, but I think the simplest thing we can do is pray. And we know that there's power in prayer. And we know that none of us are the ones who transform anyone's lives. It is only through the power of the Spirit that someone's lives is transformed. So with that being said, at this moment, what I want you guys to do is I want you to think of those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. And I want you to lift them up by name, because we've seen people's lives transformed by this. So let's never forget that. So at this time, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come to you in prayer. Lord, we know that our prayers are something that you desire. And Lord, we know there are many around us who don't know who you are. Father, whether they're our family, our friends, our co-workers, and even our neighbors, Lord, we lift them up by name in this moment. Lord, we ask that you do a new work in their lives, that you transform them from the inside out, and they may have a desire to grow closer to you. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we thank you for the way that you work in advance. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
As we continue to worship, from Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, it says this: "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we did, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will find and receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it the most." That's the God we worship this morning.
There's a reason why the curse of sin is broken. There's a reason why the darkness runs from light. There's a reason why we stand here now forgiven. Jesus is alive. There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason. Jesus is alive.
Come on, sing it out. Praise the King.
Praise the King. He is risen. Praise the King. He's alive. Praise the King. Death defeated. Hallelujah. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive.
The grave could not ignore it.
The grave could not ignore.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, is my soul. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, a ransom for my life, oh, he is my soul. Do you walk?
this morning.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Say it out again, you're never.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Sunday school. And Holy Spirit is so good. And He washes over us with His cleansing waters. And we have a river of life flowing from Him through us and out. So if you know this song, sing along.
River of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison's doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I've got a river.
I've got a river of life.
shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.
Be upon you and a thousand generations.
Goodness, we thank you for your peace in our lives this morning. We know that as we follow you, the blessings will continue to generation after generation. Father, we say thank you that we can lay everything at your feet this morning and we find freedom in you, Father. You are so good. Amen and amen.
Well, good morning, church. If you didn't know, it helps to unmute your mic on yourself. Have things work a little bit. Oh, man, it's good to be here. And hopefully, I was looking at the weather temperatures. Looks like we're finally in the upward swing because I was not exactly thrilled with the snow on Friday morning. I don't know about you guys. And also this time change, I'm just going to be honest, for those of you who know my dog Mater, did not want to crawl out of bed at all this morning. I think he fought me harder than a toddler would have. But I want to welcome everybody that's here this morning. I want to welcome those that are joining us online and on the radio. We are thankful for each one of you. Also the guests that are here today, just thank you for being here. We appreciate you. And before we dive in, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we just lift up today to you. Lord, I ask that you be with us this morning as we look at your words. May we hear what we need to hear. Lord, may it be your words that are spoken and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, may it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week in our Life of Christ series, we finished up Luke chapter 9, and it was inside that passage that we saw the cost of following Jesus. As Jesus was heading off to Jerusalem towards the cross, we saw him come across several different situations, one being that he was rejected in Samaria as he was trying to find a place to lay his head. And the disciples actually asked if they should call down fire from heaven to wipe out the town. But Jesus reminded them that they are to use compassion, love, and grace inside of that to be his hands and feet. And as they continued on, he gave us three different examples of why we often keep from saying yes to when Jesus calls us to be his disciples. He gave us three different gentlemen as examples. One he calls, another says, I want to follow, and another one Jesus calls again. And each one had their own excuse of why they couldn't say fully yes to Jesus in that moment. And we can find ourselves wrestling with different reasons in our own lives on why we don't want to say yes to Jesus when he calls. Each and every one of us can have that at times. But we have to make that choice. Do we want to follow him? Do we want to listen to that call or go elsewhere? And when Jesus calls us to follow him, to become his disciples, he's not calling us just to stand on the sidelines. He's not calling us to just say a prayer and say, Lord, come into my life, and then do nothing else. He's calling us to prepare us, to send us out to the world, to be his hands and feet to the community and the rest of the world around us. It's all part of the Great Commission that Jesus has called each one of us who call him Lord to follow, to reach the lost for him. And this morning, for those who want to follow along in our passage, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. And it's here in this passage that we see Jesus sending out his followers to the rest of the world, giving us an example of what he calls from us. So let's dive in this morning and let's start breaking down this passage with verse 1. And in verse 1, it tells us, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. You know, often when we think of Jesus, when we think of his disciples, what do we think of? We think of the 12, right? But we know that he actually had a lot more followers than just the 12 that we often think of. In fact, 1 Corinthians tells us that there was well over 500 followers at the time of his death, if not more. On top of that, in Acts, it tells us when the first church was established in Jerusalem, there was 120 disciples and brothers and sisters in Jerusalem at that time. And it's inside this passage that we see Jesus sending out a group of 72 people, two by two. And one of the things that I found interesting about this verse is that Jesus did not send the original 12 out with them. He sent the others. We don't think about the other followers of Jesus often. You know, in our world today, when we think of somebody being sent out, when we think of the people doing God's work, what do we often think of? Pastors, evangelists, missionaries. Like, we have people that we believe are the ones that are being sent out by God. That these are the ones who are called to do the work that God has called. And we kind of like to look at ourselves as this idea is that we are the pew holders. We are the ones who are there on a Sunday morning, sitting in our spot, getting our hour of Jesus, and we let others do the work. But here's the thing, that's not what Jesus calls from all of us. You know, being sent and being called to go out and share the good news of Jesus is not an exclusive club. It's not one that's just reserved for the pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. It's something that each one of us are called to do. Yet so often, people are unwilling to answer that call to go out and do the work that God has called for us. Instead, we use a lot of the excuses that we saw inside of the passage last week of people rejecting the call that God has put on. We come up with excuses of why we can't do it. And that's why Jesus says in verse 2, he told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers into the harvest. You know, there's an abundant harvest available out there for us as believers. There are people that are hurting. There are people that don't know which way to go in life, that are searching all over for the answers to the problems of their life. The problem we run into, though, so often is that the workers are few. There are people unwilling to be the hands and feet of Jesus as we're called to be. Even in Jesus' time here on earth, he was not able to hit every village and town in the area. So he was sending out his teams. He sent out 36 teams of two to as many towns and villages as they could to gather new believers for the kingdom of God. He was calling them in that moment to go and fulfill the Great Commission, just as he calls us. I personally love this analogy of the harvest, though. I want you guys to think about this for a minute. I want you to think about your own community where we live in right here, right now. When we leave the church today, how many of you guys on the way home will pass at least one field? How many of you will pass two fields? How many of you can't count the number of fields you're going to pass? They're all around us, aren't they? There are so many fields out there. And in this time of the year, the fields are ready for planting, or getting close to ready for planting. And we have to plant the fields before we can harvest them, don't we? That's something we have to do. But I got a question for you. What if we had no farmers willing to go and work the fields? What if we had no farmers willing to go out there and do the hard work of preparing the ground for the seed to go in? What if we had no farmers willing to tend to the crop after the seed is planted? What if we had no farmers that were willing to harvest at the end? We would have a crisis, wouldn't we? We would have a shortage of food and other availabilities to us if the farmers weren't willing to do the job that they're called to. The crops don't plant themselves, just as the people don't hear the gospel on their own. The crops don't tend to themselves. They don't remove their own weeds. They don't get the nutrition that they need unless someone is willing to take care of the field and help them grow. Just as someone needs to help a new believer in their knowledge of Jesus, somebody needs to walk alongside them, encourage them, disciple them. And the harvest doesn't come in without the worker willing to go out and bring it in. You know, there's a crisis in the church in America today. There is an abundant harvest out there. People looking and hurting and waiting to hear the good news of Jesus. But the workers are so few that they're not even getting to hear it. And I think there's several reasons why we face that situation. The first one is outlined in verse 3, where it says, "Now go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." You see, I think the first reason that we face is fear. We have a fear about sharing our faith. You know, Jesus said that you're being sent out like lambs among wolves. That doesn't paint the prettiest picture, does it? That sounds scary. And we're scared that we'll be rejected. We're scared that others won't like us. We're fearful that we might offend somebody. There are things that we have to face as Christians. But we need to remember that we have a good shepherd that watches out for us as we navigate out there among the wolves. We need to face our fears and be willing to be bold for the sake of the gospel. And we need to do it out of love for those who don't know Jesus. I mean, I'm going to ask you a really difficult question this morning. How much do you have to hate someone not to tell them the truth about Christ? You think you're being loving by keeping Jesus to yourself? How much do you hate someone to not tell them the truth? You know, when somebody doesn't know who Jesus is and they're walking in life and they don't know him, and we know that somebody is on their way to hell because they don't have that saving grace of Christ within their life, how much do we have to hate them to not tell them the truth? You cannot tell someone you love them and yet keep the truth from them. If they reject the message, that is on them. But if you never open your mouth and share the good news of Jesus, that's on you. I want you to think about that. It's a burden that we have to carry. You know, there's a story I read a while back that always has stuck with me. And it's a hard one to hear at times. But there was this man, and he was in hell, and he was going from one pit to the other over and over again. And he was looking through the pit, and he was looking through, and he was digging through. And someone finally came up to him and said, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for the pastor that didn't tell me the truth." We are talking about eternity. We are talking about people's souls. How much do we have to hate someone not to tell them the truth? And I think often one of the other areas that holds us back is that we feel inadequate in sharing our faith. We have to remember that Jesus is with us, though. You know, he sent out the 72, and he tells us in verse 4 that. He tells us in verse 4, don't carry a money bag, travel bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. You see, he told them not to take those things along with him because he would provide what they needed on that trip. And it's the same thing for us. He will provide us the words that we need in those moments to share the gospel and the good news. If you're trusting Christ in these moments, when you're sharing, I promise you, Jesus is with you when you're doing it. And you cannot screw up presenting the gospel if you're doing it with a pure heart. You're not that powerful. You don't have the ability to do that. You know, God is not looking for a perfect person to do his work. There's only one person that's ever been perfect, and that is Jesus. He's looking for people who are willing to walk alongside and do what he's called us to. He's looking for a willing heart. You know, there's many times that I've shared the gospel, that I've been able to present the message of Jesus to other people, and I've done it in the most eloquent way. I've done it in the way that seminary taught me to do it, and nothing happened. But there's been many other times that I've gone out and I've shared the good news of Jesus in the simplest way of simply saying Jesus loves you, and I've watched an entire life transform and watch them surrender to Jesus. It's not about us. And let me tell you, as long as we have a willing heart and we do it out of love, God's word will not fail. It's the Holy Spirit that does the transforming of the life. We simply get to partner with him throughout this work. On top of that, Jesus gave us instructions on how we are to share our faith. He says in verses 5 and 6, whatever house you enter first, say peace to this household. If a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. You know, when we share the good news of Jesus and show the peace of God to the world around us, if someone receives that message, they too get to participate in that peace. They too get to have that joy that comes from Christ alone. But if they reject it, if you notice here, it says it returns to you. What Jesus is saying is if they don't get that same peace that we have. And he's not blaming us for that moment. Our conscience can be clean. We are not responsible if somebody rejects Christ. Our responsibility is to share Christ. He's simply pointing out that we're called to share Jesus. That's all you're called to do. In verse 7, it says, remain in the house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wage. Don't move from house to house. This is really important. This is really important. It's one that I think that I see happening all the time. By remaining in the same house, he's also given the disciples that Jesus is sending out an opportunity to help the new believers in their faith. You know, he wasn't telling them just do a simple prayer and then go to the next house and get them to say a prayer and then go to the next house and have them say a prayer. No, he's saying, hey, make disciples that make disciples. That by him spending time, by the 72 being sent out, spending time in that same house their whole time there, they have an opportunity to disciple them into mature believers. You know, my goal here is not just to have people say yes to Jesus. My goal is here is to help people become mature disciples that go out and make mature disciples. It becomes the cycle. And we build that disciple. And we build disciples not just through Bible studies, but by spending time with people to engage them where their needs are and point them back to Jesus in all of it. And he gives us an example in 8 and 9, and he says, when you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things set before you. There's a couple very important points that are made inside of these verses. When he said, eat anything that sits in front of you, we have to remember that underneath Jewish law, there were certain foods that they cannot eat. They had to stay kosher through it all. But here Jesus was saying, hey, don't worry about that. Instead, eat what's in front of you. You know, sometimes as Christians, when we're sharing the gospel, we can get caught up on the little things that have more to do with tradition than the actual knowledge of Jesus himself. We get more concerned with our tradition than we do about the saving grace of Jesus. And we let things that have nothing to do with salvation deter us from sharing the gospel. I want you guys to think about this for a second. If someone is listening to music that you know they shouldn't be listening to, if they're watching a movie that's not very Christian of them, or maybe they're using language inside of their home that they shouldn't be using, don't allow those things to become something that you try to correct on your own before the person even has a chance to become a mature believer in Jesus. They're operating in the flesh at that moment. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to convict them and transform them from the inside out. It's a process when we walk in relationship with Jesus. Instead, I want you to address the heart of the issue. And that is the lack of Christ in their life. Because Jesus is the one that will convict. You know, Jesus told them to heal the sick and let them know that the kingdom of God is at hand, to be his hands and feet. I'm telling you, he's telling them to address the heart of the issue, not the symptoms. So often when we look at the world around us and we see all the bad that is happening, what we're seeing is the symptom of the lack of Christ. There's no Jesus there. And we're seeing the symptoms of it. You know, a person can go his entire life and never use a swear word. A person go his entire life and listen to nothing but clean music and watch clean movies and TV shows. A person can go their entire life and sit inside of a pew on a Sunday morning, but none of that will save them. The only thing that saves them is Jesus. When we share the gospel, we need to make sure that we're addressing the heart of the issue. The lack of Christ in someone's life. And there's going to be people who choose to reject Jesus. And it tells us in verse 10 and 11, when you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we are wiping off even the dust of your town that clings to our feet as a witness against you. Know this for certain, the kingdom of God has come near. You know, Jesus is letting them know that they're going to face rejections when they step out in faith and share the gospel. Just like we're going to face rejections when we do that. But just because the message is rejected doesn't mean the message changes. You know, it doesn't matter how many people reject Jesus. It doesn't matter how many people reject the kingdom of God. The message still stands true. It's in those moments that when they kick off the dust of their feet, Jesus is saying that it's not on them anymore. They were good and faithful servants, and they carried out the message. And the ones who faced judgment on their own. Jesus explains this in 12 through 14, and he says, I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. What Jesus is saying on that day, he's talking about judgment day, the day we stand in front of Christ. You see, Sodom was an evil, wicked city that God destroyed because of its great sinfulness. You know, the people of Sodom will have to face God's wrath on judgment day. But the cities and the people that reject Jesus after hearing the truth will be worse off than them on judgment day. When he talked about Tyre and Sidon, these are getting too close together. These were pagan cities that had yet to hear about Jesus. But the other two had seen Jesus' miracles and everything that he was doing. They had heard his teachings, yet they rejected Jesus. And this was a warning to all of those who had heard the message of Jesus and yet they rejected him along every turn. When you've heard the message and you reject it, your punishment is even worse, is what Jesus is saying. And he even goes as far as calling out Capernaum. He says in verse 15, "And you, Capernaum, will be exalted to heaven. No, you will go down to Hades." See, Capernaum was Jesus' base in Galilee, where he had performed many miracles there. And because of this, many of them felt pride and this connection to Jesus. They counted themselves as blessed because Jesus had done all of this there. The problem was, though, they didn't live out his teachings. They didn't live what Jesus had called them to live. They were unwilling to be the hands and feet of Jesus to tell the rest of the world about who he is. And Jesus warned them in this passage that they are no better off because they've heard the message of Christ, they've seen his miracles, and they refuse to act on it. They simply liked Jesus for what they could get from him, but they didn't want to count the cost of following him. And I'm going to tell you, it's a clear warning for all of us who call ourselves Christians. You know, being a Christian is not just saying a prayer. It's picking up our cross and following him daily. Being willing to be his hands and feet and tell the world around us the love that God has for them. And Jesus closes everything out in verse 16. And he says, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." You know, in biblical times, the messenger was a very important person. They represented the person that sent them, and they had the same authority as them in that moment. I want you guys to know, when you're being sent out, when God calls you and sends you out onto the mission field and the world around us, you have been given authority to present the gospel message, and he walks with you through it. And Jesus is telling his disciples in this moment, those who accept the message that they bring accept Christ. In the same way, those who reject the message reject Jesus. But here's the thing. How can they reject something they don't know? How can they accept the message of Jesus, the hope of the gospel, if no one is willing to go out and share it with them? This is why Jesus says that the workers are few, because there is not many willing to pick up their cross and follow him. You may like the idea of Jesus. Sitting here this morning, you may like the idea of Jesus, but are you willing to pick up your cross? Are you willing to follow him wherever he calls you to go? You know, each one of us are called to a life of ministry. It may not be here at the church. Your ministry job may not be standing in front of people and teaching in that method. But we're all called to ministry of some form. If you're a follower of Christ, you are called to go out and share the good news of what God has done in your life. And we do it out of love for the people around us. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your family and friends? Do you love your coworkers? And where do you want them to spend eternity? If you've heard the gospel message yet are unwilling to share it with others, you're no better than Capernaum. So my question to you this morning is, where is God sending you? Who are the people he's calling you to reach? And are you willing to answer that call? I want to invite the worship team up this morning as we go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for your goodness, for the way that you provide and watch over us. Lord, may we answer the call. Lord, may you speak into the lives of each person here. May they see the people and the places you have called them to minister through it all. May you do a new work in us. And Father, may we repent of the times that we've said no. And may we start to walk out in obedience to you. Lord, we thank you for what your son did. And may we never take that for granted. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. out today, I just ask that this week you spend some time examining your own heart and where God is calling you to the people that he's calling you to reach out, that you may step out in boldness and love and mercy for the world around us for the sake of Jesus. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.